Merry Christmas, church. God bless you. Thanks so much for tuning in. You know, we've been on this message series for the past few weeks entitled Christmas, Our Place in His Story, or really Our Place in History, right? And I just want to pray and get into this word. You know, we had a couple messages at church, and just with Christmas season and special services and parties and all these kind of things, there was one more message that I just wasn't able to get in at church. So I'm going to preach it right here at my home studio, and we're going to post this on the website during this Christmas week. So let's pray over this word. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. Thank you so much, Jesus, for coming to save and seek that which was lost. God, I thank you, Lord, that you saved us. You're healing us, delivering us, setting us free, prospering your people. And we give you all the praise and glory for blessing this word today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, our foundation text for this message, if you recall, have been Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, and Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. And let me start with Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. It says, "For unto us a child is born," capital C, child is born. "Unto us a son," capital S, "son is given. And the government," somebody say, "the government," "will be upon his shoulder." Is anybody else ready for the government to be on his shoulder? Glory to God. Don't you know a government that's on the shoulders of Jesus is going up? A government that's on anyone else's shoulders is going down. Amen? So it's so important for us to be praying and believing God for his plans and purposes for the governments of the world, for righteous people that love God to be in those places of authority. Amen? And his name, the verse continues, will be called Wonderful, capital W, Counselor, capital C, Mighty God, capitals M and G, Everlasting Father, capitals E and F, and Prince of Peace, capital P, capital P. Amen? Jesus is the God the Son. Amen. And these verses were written hundreds of years before his birth, spoken through the prophet Isaiah. And it continues, verse 7, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." And we've been talking about how our enemy, the devil, is just trying to make it seem like his government, his ways, his issues, his perversions, his murders, his violence, his things that he's promoting out there in the world, that this seems like there's no end to it. Amen. But guess what, church? There is an end to it. The devil is coming to a final end. And the greatest reminder of that wasn't so much the birth of Jesus as it was the crucifixion and the resurrection. And of course, he's coming back again. Amen. And I love the word there. It says, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." Glory to his name forevermore. So when the enemy tries to make it look like he's winning, that he's succeeding, that he's flourishing, that his plans are prevailing, we know he's the father of lies. And him and anyone who's following him there's going to be an end to them. I was pondering that this week, just in terms of, you know, we have the hope as Christians that even when somebody passes on and goes on home to heaven, we know we're going to see them again. Hallelujah. Maybe you have a family member or a friend who has passed on ahead of you. I know of several people, a few people in our church particularly, that are family members that have gone on to be with Jesus. And we miss them, the word says we don't grieve and sorrow as those who have no hope, because we know we're going to see them again. I mean, it could be tonight, man, when the return of the Lord comes. But here's the thing. Satan's plans are coming to an end. He's going to be cast into the lake of fire, to hell forever and ever and ever. And the tragic part about it, church, is that people who follow him, people who follow him are following him right into the pit of hell. There's literally people, family of God, there's literally people in the world that when they die, we will never see them again. Never see them again. And even those that would say, well, you know, I want to go to hell because that's where all my friends are. Well, that is one of the dumbest things anybody could ever say, right? Because in hell, it's a place of seclusion. It's a place of isolation. You'll never, people that go to hell will never see anybody ever again. How tragic is that? They'll hear the screams. That it's a place of eternal torment and judgment that wasn't designed for people. It was designed for Satan and his angels. But people who are following the father of lies, people who are following the prince of darkness, people who are following the lord of the flies, right? These are some terms the Bible gives the devil. They will share in his award. They will share in the reward of the devil forever and ever and ever. This is why we pray and preach the gospel, because as long as someone is sucking air and breathing, there's hope for them to be saved. But this is the truth right here. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Glory to God forevermore. Don't you know, church, there's a time when Jesus was born. I heard Pastor Terry Copeland Pearson say this the other day, and I got all excited about it. She said he came, you know, the Bible calls him the Lamb of God, who took away our sins, you know, and so forth. But then it also says he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So he is the Lamb of God, and he's the Lion of God. And Pastor Terry Copeland Pearson said it this way. She said that he came in the manger and throughout his life on earth as the Lamb of God. When he comes back, church, he's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to take charge on this planet, and that includes politically all over the face of the earth. And you and I will rule and reign with him. Hallelujah. Praise his name forevermore. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. Oh, church, there's an end to the issues of this world. Amen. There's an end to the crazy government things that we've been seeing over the past, you know, even the increase of it over the past few years. There's an end of that coming, because death things die, church. What we're believing God for and proclaiming and hearing prophetic words regarding is that there is a change coming even before the return of the Lord. His people are occupying until he comes. His people are rising up into places of prominence in government, in business, in family, in ministry, in education, in media, in arts and entertainment. Amen. Glory to God in these mountains of societal influence. Why? Because they're acting like their God. They're acting like Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And we haven't even gotten through verse 7, church. I'm preaching in my studio, and it's like I can see you in the spirit. I can feel the presence and power of God, like we're all together. Isn't it awesome that there's no time and space in the spirit, church? Amen. We're going to talk in a few minutes about dreams and visions from God. And I mean, the things God can show us in his word and through dreams and visions and just getting into the Holy Ghost is so amazing. Amen. The word continues, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it. Praise the Lord forevermore. He is ordering and establishing the government with judgment and justice from that time forward. Glory to God, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Well, how's it going to happen, Pastor Steve? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen. And as his family, as his sons and daughters, we're listening to his voice. We're following his leadership. We're listening to his word. We're studying his word. We're giving ourselves to prayer and fasting. We're searching his word. We're seeking his face. We're not getting out of fellowship with the Lord. Amen. These are ways we stay with him, stay on board with him, stay in his plan, stay in his purpose. Hallelujah. Stay excited, stay in a place of praise and thanksgiving, and looking up at all times. Amen. Revelation 22:20 says this, right? He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. So it's amazing to see in Isaiah several hundred years before Jesus was born, it was prophesied and proclaimed, he's coming. He's coming. Somebody say, he's coming. And now in Revelation 20, 22, verse 20, John is saying he's coming again. And you know what? He hasn't come back yet again. Amen. So you and I, just like Isaiah was saying in chapter 9 there, he's coming. We can be saying he's coming. Amen. But he's coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Glory to God. And we are going to stay with him forever and ever and ever. So now's not the time to be shrinking back. Now's not the time to be hiding. Now's not the time to be getting into fear and worry and strife and bitterness or lust or perversions or gossips or slanders or racisms or socialisms or communisms or whatever isms. We stay with Jesus. We stay with him. We stay in his word. We stay in church. We stay in faith. Because this is what pleases our God, because we love him. Amen. Somebody say, I love him. I love you, Lord. Amen. Well, I want to look today in terms of, and we've talked about Joseph and Mary's place in his story. We've talked about the shepherd's place in his story. We've talked about Simeon and Anna's place in his story and how all these things connect you and me to his story, right? The Christmas story, yes, it's about Jesus, it's about God, but God uses people. Hallelujah. The devil certainly uses people, and our Heavenly Father, he uses people to get his plans and purposes accomplished in this world. Amen. So you and I, the Christmas story reminds us that we have a place in his story. Amen. And let's look at Matthew chapter 2. Open your Bible to Matthew chapter 2. And I want to look at the first 15 verses because we're going to talk about the wise men or the Magi's place in his story. Amen. And we're going to look at a couple things with Joseph and Mary again and even with Herod. Amen. Even people that are evil people are going to be a part of his story somewhere, right? Just ask Pharaoh. Amen. But we want to be on the good side of his story. Amen. So Matthew chapter 2. Verses 1 through 15, this is after Jesus was born. You know, there's so many beautiful art renditions and nativity sets that we put out, you know, for the holiday season. And Pastor Rick Renner's book entitled Christmas, The Rest of the Story. I would highly recommend getting that. He's got broadcasts, a DVD series you can get where he teaches on it. Just a marvelous teacher of the word and this great research that he did to bring more depth to the story. But he was sharing that the picture of the nativity where it's Jesus and Mary and Joseph and the angels and the shepherds and the wise men all together there at this little, you know, farmhouse looking thing with some hay, some little animals around there. It's a beautiful picture. But he said that Italian artists created, you know, obviously eons ago, years and years ago, they would create these beautiful paintings that would tell years worth of stories in one picture. And so they would bring pieces of different things, you know, not just the nativity, but different, whatever they were, you know, presenting and put it all in one picture, like it all just to tell an entire story in one picture. So the point that I'm making there is that as we get into Matthew chapter 2, it's important to note that the wise men, or the Magi, we can call them as well, they were not there at the time of the manger, right? And it was a long journey that they began, and they did not arrive to see Jesus, Joseph and Mary, the Holy Family, right? Until he was about 2 years old, right? So, and they didn't bring three little boxes, you know, one little box of gold, one little box of frankincense, one little box of myrrh. Pastor Rick goes into all of the different things that these wise men, magi, would have brought. And there wasn't only three of them. So there could have been five, there could have been dozens. It just says there were, you know, they mentioned three different types of gifts, but they were extremely wealthy. One thing that I'll read to you here from just some notes that I took on Christmas, the rest of the story. It says that the Magi, now this is amazing to me. The Magi were a combination of scientists, politicians, and religious leaders. And they were staggeringly wealthy. The Magi were king makers, considered to be superior to kings in influence and power. We don't have an equivalent for the Magi today in terms of finance, religious, scientific, and political power, and just their ability in, you know, from the East to actually, they could actually depose a king if they all agreed and institute a new king. And this is one of the main reasons, obviously, it says, you know, when they came to Jerusalem, that it put Jerusalem in uproar, because Herod was a psychopath, right? King Herod knew this about these men, and he was just crazy about anybody who would possibly threaten his throne. And he murdered family members. I mean, listen to this in regards to King Herod. He was called Herod the Great. He was and Pastor Rick goes into some details on this, said the word great. He was a great politician, a great ruler, a great architect, a great builder, a great manipulator, a great tyrant. He had great outbursts of anger. He did great massacres. So there were some things that he did great that were good, but many, many more that were very bad things that he did. Right. And so it's said that when he first became king, he slaughtered the entire Sanhedrin in Jerusalem. He would just go on these tirades of massacring people, killing people whenever he heard the slightest rumor that somebody might take his throne. Right. And he removed the high priest and installed his own high priest along with a Sanhedrin of his own choosing. High priests he chose, and they had no special connection to the priesthood. Through his rule and the time of Jesus, the high priests and Sanhedrin were illegitimate puppets. Church, does that sound familiar, like, to anything else we can think about in our time right now? Are there anybody out there in places of leadership that really are just illegitimate puppets being used by the devil to accomplish his plans and purposes? I mean, when they are murdering children, mutilating children, trafficking children, I mean, that is straight up evil, demonic stuff done by illegitimate puppets that we need to vote and pray out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think I can hear you saying amen from right where you are right now. And in Herod's hands, they were like his own religious mafia, helping him rule in Jerusalem. I just can't help but think about, you know, some of our leadership right now that are so whacked out. They're basically like their own little mafia. I love the illustration of the swamp. Amen. The swamp creatures. And the people are our enemy. We pray for the people. But my goodness, if they're following the devil's plan and instituting the devil's plan and killing and murdering and you know, loving money more than and power, more than truth and righteousness, man, we have to pray them out and vote them out. Pray that they get saved, yes. But man, in the name of Jesus, we are taking this country back in 24. Amen? And believe in Jesus to be all over that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So how does this all tie to the Christmas story? Well, amen. That's what we're talking about. We're believing God, you know, as we're preaching this word, to do mighty things in our homes, mighty things in our families, mighty things in our nation, mighty things in Israel, to bring about a mighty revival, turning people back to the light, from away from the darkness and back to the light. And, you know, the Hanukkah week that happened a couple weeks ago is all about the Festival of Lights. And I was watching Pastor Greg Stevens with Kenneth Copeland this past week. And he was talking about that Jesus was likely conceived during the Hanukkah celebration, the winter feast, the Bible says, during that week in December, right? And it's interesting because it's called the Feast of Dedication and the Feast of Lights. So literally, the light of the world, Angel Gabriel came to Mary during that festival, during that week of Hanukkah, the winter feast, amen? And Jesus was literally conceived and would have been born in September, amen? So celebrating Christmas really does have biblical validation. And Hanukkah, you know, putting the menorah in the window, letting our light shine, people that put Christmas lights up, a Christmas tree in the full of lights, you know, it gets dark really early this time of the year. So putting lights out there are just reminders that the light of the world is living on the inside of us and he's coming back. Amen. These are marvelous things. So when you're putting up your Christmas lights, turning on the tree, leaving your lights on outside, you know, it's just a reminder that the light of the world is on the inside of us, and we need to let our light shine. Amen. All right, let's hallelujah. Let's get to Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. Amen. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. And, you know, again, regarding the wise men, these actually can be traced all the way back to Daniel, back when, you know, during those times in Babylon. That's the writings of Daniel. All these men would have been greatly familiar with Daniel. Amen. And they came in saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" And that literally means, that word king literally meant king of all kings, ruler of all rulers, which is why Herod was really rattled when he heard this, right? "For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Amen. And again, the magi, the wise men, were again a combination of scientists, politicians, religious leaders, and staggeringly wealthy. And they were, you know, they were amazing leaders. And when I saw that, when Pastor Rick brought that out in terms of finance, religion, science, political power, church, it made me think of these mountains of societal influence. Isn't it amazing? Politics, business, religion, right? All of these things, these mountains of societal influence that Jesus will rule over. Amen? And his people can. In the name of, if we'll rise up and pray and believe and be active in our faith. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. "For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Oh man, they brought so many wonderful, beautiful gifts, amazingly expensive gifts that would have literally, Pastor Rick was saying, financed Joseph and Mary's. They had to flee to Egypt for, I think it was 3 years, 2 or 3 years. And that would have literally financed their expedition across Egypt. You know, just amazing things that God was orchestrating here. "When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him." Why was Jerusalem troubled with him? Because they knew if someone is threatening the throne, he's going to start killing people. He's a psycho, man. Right? Hallelujah. "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together," his little puppets, right? "He inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers, but out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Verse 7, "Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go search carefully for the young child. When you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.'" My goodness, church. But we understand Herod's motive was to kill the child. Isn't it interesting that the devil's plan has not changed? He still wants to kill the child. And whoever would have thought in this nation, right, the abortion epidemic. It's, you know, I heard Brother Copeland call it America's Holocaust, right? 6 million Jews were killed during World War II by psychopath, demon-possessed Nazis. 65 million, church, in the United States of America are slaughtered in the womb since Roe v. Wade that we know of. The American Holocaust. The devil's plan has not changed. Kill children, right? Mutilate children, traffic children. It's just insane. It's evil. It's wicked. And nobody who votes for someone who promotes those things should feel like they did something right. Amen. We need to really keep ourselves in check, do our homework, even if it has a Republican by their name, right? We need to do our homework, ask the questions, listen, pray, and vote accordingly, and pray accordingly. Amen. This it's literally life and death. Amen. When they had heard the king, the wise men, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Pastor Rick brings some amazing things again in regards to this particular part of the story in his book, Christmas, the rest of the story. You'll really enjoy that if you get it. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, see, you notice it doesn't say into the cave where the manger was, right? They came into the house. And by the way, Joseph, he was not a poor man, right? He was a carpenter, which actually was more like an architect back then. He was helping build a city. He was into building things out of stone and jewelry and all kinds of amazing things this man could do. And he was paid very well for it. Amen. They didn't end up in a cave because they couldn't afford the hotel. There was no room in the hotel, right? Amen. And so it's amazing some of the things that Pastor Rick brings out about how, you know, financially blessed that these people were. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. Let me tell you something, church. That's the greatest gift. Our giving, yes, absolutely. Bringing our tithes and offerings is a part of our worship, an act of our worship. But just praising God, lifting your hands and worshiping him, even when it seems like things look like hell on earth is manifesting, right? We lift our hands and we say, Jesus, I thank you. Jesus, I praise you. Father, I praise you. I glorify you. I welcome your Holy Ghost on this situation. Hallelujah. You know, a few nights ago, my nephew was driving down from Seattle, and he's 17 years old. It was his first car trip, kind of by himself, navigating with his phone, and nobody heard from him for several hours. And you start going places in your mind. And we found out that his debit card was used at a convenience store, you know, about, maybe 25, 30 miles north of where he was supposed to come. But yet no one heard from him. He had a phone, you know. And so your mind starts going to, uh-oh, he was mugged, he was kidnapped, someone's using his card, right? Fear starts coming in. So my wife and I got in and we drove up to the store where they had ran his card. And we just started praying in the Holy Ghost on the way. In the name of Jesus, we bind you, Satan. We rebuke fear. We praise you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you that everything is okay. We praise you that our nephew is safe. We praise you that he's going to pop back up on the grid, that something simple happened. We don't know why he hasn't communicated in like 8 hours. I mean, people were concerned, man. Well, my wife got there and she started talking with the manager of this little convenience store. And she showed him a picture of my nephew. And Shelly was like, she pulled me aside. She goes, honey, you know where I learned this? I learned this by watching those Hallmark mysteries. So the favor of God was there. The manager said, you know what? I'm only supposed to do this for police officers, but you guys seem really legit. Come on in the back and we'll go through the video footage because of the store that his card was used. And they went through the video and found that it was him. He was by himself. And I'll tell you what, just hearing that was, oh, such a great relief that it wasn't some weird dude with his card. It was him by himself. And we started, and it's like we started doing the math in our head. It's like, okay, he probably came down, got lost. And at this point, it took him all this time to, and he told his mom, we found out he told his mother he would be home by 8 o'clock. So he knew he'd probably be busted if he wasn't home by eight. So he probably just turned around and started heading home. And sure enough, church, that's exactly what happened. His phone wasn't working right. He had a challenging time, but he was okay. Amen. And we didn't wait, church, until we heard the news before we started praising God. And believe me, you're feeling the pressure of in the anxiety and the worry and the fear weighing on you in those times. But you know what? That's the time to lift your hands and praise and pray in the Holy Ghost. And right now, when it seems like our nation, the battles that our nation has faced, we just need to lift our hands and praise the Lord for the victory. Think of all the stories in the Bible where victory was preceded by praise. Victory was preceded by praise. Victory was preceded by praise. And what did these wise men, somebody say, wise men, bring? Yes, they brought gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh, all the amazing things Pastor Rick goes into in his book. But the worship, church, the worship, they fell down and they worshiped him. This little 2-year-old kid. Right? Amen. I mean, these are just amazing things to think about. When they had opened their treasuries, verse 11 continues, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Hallelujah. You think about gold. He's my provider. You think about frankincense, healer, myrrh, worship. There's things that go with that. There's great teaching again on each individual thing. But they brought him so much. I mean, there were camels full. They had to have an entourage, like a small army with them, to protect them with all of this stuff that they were bringing to Jesus, right? Now, this is where I want to go next here, church. The next two verses are very important. Amen. Then it says, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Somebody say, another way, right? And listen to verse 13. And when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. That's how crazy this man was, right? When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. But talking, church, about dreams and visions from God, hallelujah. These are two great illustrations of how God, yes, he speaks to us through his word. Yes, he speaks through us through teaching and preaching. But he can also speak to us through dreams and visions. And oh my, if the Christmas story does not remind us of this. Right, Mary's visitation with the angel, Zacharias's visitation from the angel, Joseph's dream to take Mary as his wife. And this particular thing is so powerful. And church, I really believe this particular section is so important for us moving on into 24 and beyond, right? That we've got to really heed God's special checks in our spirit, things that he'll show us in his word. If he gives you a sense of warning, listen to it. Amen. If he tells you, don't drive this way today, go this way. Don't take this flight, cancel this, don't do that. We need to be really good about hearing the Holy Spirit, hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, and being quick to obey him. Both of these instances, the wise men and Joseph were quick to obey that warning, that check, right? Get out. There's another way I want you to take. There's another way I want you to go today. There's another thing I want you to consider. Here's something else to consider, right? Amen. So let's just be open, church, to hearing his voice, however he wants to speak to us. Amen. We're not people that look for dreams and visions, but it is biblical. Amen. And there are times when he will speak to us in a dream or a vision. Amen. Hallelujah. I've told you before a couple of dreams that I've had with the Lord, and really the message in two words was, trust me. Trust me, Steve. Trust me. Amen. And the two instances that I had were both about women that I liked, right? I hadn't met Shelly yet, and I was stressing about a girl. And Joseph understood that. Joseph was stressing about a girl, and he had a dream. Right? And I can relate to that. And the Lord showed me in multiple dreams, Steve, trust me. Trust me. Amen. And I believe, church, no matter what you're facing right now, no matter what it looks like right now or feels like or sounds like, I hear him saying, trust me, stay with me, stick with me. Let's stick together. We can stick this out. Here's the thing, church. If we're sticking with Jesus, we're rising up. If people are sticking with the devil, they're going down. If we're sticking with God, we're going up. Amen. If people stay with the devil, they're going down. It's really as simple as that. Hallelujah. Praise, praise, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands wherever you are and thank him for his words today. Thank him for his words. Hallelujah. And that, you know, that word warning, in dictionary.com, warn means things like to give notice, advice, of impending evil, intimidation, a person, group, etc. I'm not sure what that word actually says. Intimidation. It's like sometimes you look up a word in dictionary.com and then the definition, you got to look up what that word means. But it means give advice. There might be some impending evil or possible harm or anything else unfavorable, right? God is all about helping us to avoid unfavorable situations, unfavorable circumstances, places of danger, impending evil, right? This world is full of evil and bad things and evil people. Now, there's lots of good people too, amen? But why do bad things happen to good people? Because good people weren't listening. Good people didn't heed the warning, amen? And you and me, church, we are going to be people that are real good about hearing the Holy Ghost, listening to his voice, and following him quickly. Amen. Praise the Lord forevermore. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your words today. We thank you, Lord God, that just like the wise men, we are going to have our place in his story because we are people that worship you, that seek you. Father, we're free. We give freely. Lord, we sow and we seek you, Lord God, and we come to worship you, and we're quick to obey you and hear you and respond to you, to your voice. Hallelujah. And we thank you for these words, Father God. We thank you for this Christmas season, and we thank you for the joy of it all. And we give you all the praise and glory. Hallelujah. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Kore bebe shitara vaba kashite. Le korava mashete ne kene kene keshito no do. Oh, we thank you for the blood. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that covers us, that cleanses us, that protects us, that preserves us. Hallelujah. And Father God, we commit ourselves to be people that are sticking with you every single day. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Merry Christmas, church. Have a blessed one. We love you. We'll see you again very soon. Bye-bye.